Chris, I don't know whether you saw my screen, because I know I didn't mention to you what we was going to talk about tonight, but that song was the perfect song to sing before we look at our lesson tonight. Tonight we're going to look at a lesson entitled, The Wonder of Christ's Birth. You know, tomorrow is a holiday known as Christmas, and that celebration of a holiday throughout the years as Christmas that we know has changed greatly throughout the years. And when you mention Christmas or ask people what they think Christmas is or means, you get a variety amount of different answers to that. When someone says the word Christmas to you, what do you think of? Well, most of the young people in the audience, when they think of Christmas, they think of Santa Claus. They think of reindeer. They think of presents, don't they? When you ask adults, well, what do you think about Christmas? Probably some of them will give you the answer of, well, the stress that goes with Christmas. Having to go and buy presents and then go and buy more presents. Some people think of December 25th and it being Christ's birthday. Some of my brothers and sisters in Christ immediately think of what they're going to say when the subject comes up of December 25th being Christ's birthday and how they're going to win the argument that it's actually not. And then some people use it as a time to remember and meditate and see the wonder of Christ's birth. Notice I did not say Christ's birthday, but just His birth. You know, I believe there is so much negativity surrounding the holiday of Christmas that oftentimes many Christians do not think about Christ's birth at all, whether it being during this time of year or any time during the year as a whole. Do we really take time to sit and think about what Christ's birth meant to us? Christ's birth was a time of celebration. Many of you that was here a few Wednesday nights ago, I think it was back last month when I done the reading, I read many of these same verses about Christ's birth. First of all, there in Luke chapter 1 in verses 41 through 44, it says, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe in my womb, the babe leaped in my womb for joy.'" There in Luke chapter 2, in verses 9 through 14, it says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" I want you to realize that this is one of just a few occurrences in the New Testament where it talks about the angels of heaven rejoicing over something that happened here on earth. There in Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, there the shepherds at this point had went and they had seen Christ. And it says in verse 20, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told to them. And then one more passage, there in Matthew 2, verses 9 through 11. This is talking about the wise men that was on their journey. They was following the star. And it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm sure you can see from these passages that it was a great moment when Christ was born into the world. And it was a time of rejoicing, not only for those people there, but it should be a time for us to think about and rejoice about it. Now I want us to look at our text that we're going to use tonight. There in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, and at first you might say, well, what has this to do with the lesson? But I'm sure you're going to find out. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I think Paul, through the inspiration of God, when he wrote this, although he might have not have been specifically thinking about the very birth of Christ, but his life in general, I think he summarizes in this verse three wonderful things about Christ's birth that should bring wonderment to our own eyes. And so in this lesson, what we're going to do is we're going to reaffirm the true wonder of Christ's birth and what it means to us. First of all, it was a wonderful fact that happened. There in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, the first of the verse says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. You know, Paul is writing to Timothy and he's telling him, you listen to this, you mark this, because what I am going to tell you is the truth. It is a fact. And one fact is the meaning of Christ's birth. When you think about what the true meaning is, what is at the heart of Christ's birth? Christ Jesus came into the world. Here is a fact filled with wonder when you think about it. You know, Christ's birth itself was a true miracle. That little baby was Emmanuel, God Himself in the flesh. In the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, and then I'm going to drop down to verse 14, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to think about this for a moment. Here we have God, and He crosses out of heaven to come to earth, His creation, and becomes as the created. Now, I know this is not going to be a fair comparison, but I want you to think about this for a moment. Let's try to put it maybe in terms that we can understand just a little bit about. What if you could take and keep your own middle mental capacity, but yet you had to take on the form of an earthworm? And not only the form of an earthworm, but a form of an earthworm living in a cow pasture. Now, most of us are country people in here. Most of us have went fishing. If you've ever went to a cow pasture to look for earthworms or fishing worms to fish with, you know where they come from, don't you? What you start doing is you start turning over cow pallies. You know, you get under the cow manure. Well, think about that. What if you had to do that? Would you be willing to change your life and going from living this life that you have now to living the life as an earthworm in a cow patty? Like I said, I don't think it's truly a good comparison, but that's about what Christ did for us. He left heaven to come to this earth. The eternal God became a human. And not just a human, but a born baby. Think about that. Here the all-powerful God makes himself helpless and totally dependent upon humans to take care of him. What a wonder that really is. What a wonderful fact to think about, that Christ done that. Another thing that, well, I'm going to skip that one. That was another one I read. I forgot to read it. But another thing we need to look at is a wonderful purpose. What a wonderful purpose he had in coming to this earth. There in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief." The real question of Christ's birth. You know, a lot of times when we think about Christ's birth and we think about him coming to earth, we wonder, well, how did it actually happen? How did he empty himself of his Godhead and become a man and become human? And that truly is a wonder, and we could probably think about that and consider it from here on. But I think a more important question than even that, the real question, is to think about why he came. You know, why did he enter this earth? Paul tells us that it was to save sinners. What did he save us from? You know? What was it? Well, first of all, he saved us from the fear of death. I want you to think about that for a moment. Think about this enemy of ours, death, waiting patiently for all of us. You know, most of us, especially those that are getting up in years, we worry about getting old, don't we? We dread getting diseases. Even sometimes if you're young, you worry about getting in an automobile accident, and so you kind of drive a little bit more safely. If any of these things crosses your mind, then you should celebrate and wonder at the birth of Christ. Why is it? Because Jesus came to conquer the fear of death. There in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15, it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You know, most of us, when we think about that, we think about growing old. That's what we worry about, isn't it? We worry about dying. And that's the fear of all of the earth, or it was. But now we have seen that Christ was raised, and so he has conquered that fear. You know, think about it for just a minute. Think about the person who comes up with that cure for cancer. That guy's going to be a hero. He's going to go down in the annals of history as one of the most famous people. And he will be remembered for years and years and years. We dread that word, don't we? We dread going to the doctor and having tests and hearing him say that word to us: "You have cancer." You may never have cancer. We might find the cure for cancer. But each of us is still going to die. Curing diseases does not conquer death. Jesus came into the world to defeat this enemy that we have. He was born to die, but then to live again, defeating death. Another thing that Christ saved us from, and that is eternal hell. This, by far, I think, is the greatest wonder of all. Hard part of knowing is just how Jesus, going to enter the world, but thinking about how He was going to leave it. You know, the kind of death that Jesus died is the death that each one of us really deserves because of our sin. And the nature of His death was far more than just the physical pain and suffering. There was the agony of His soul, the torment on His divine nature while on the cross. Jesus knew He came into this world for one reason, to save sinners. Only way to accomplish this was to take on the punishment that we deserved. But that's why He came. And so the wonder of it all is to think about that. That He came into this world for that one reason, to die on a cross. Christ's birth, the wonder of it is not that He came, but knowing how He was going to die and for what reason, He came anyways. Why did He come? I don't really understand it all. Hopefully someday I will. But I believe He did come. And now I know why, really. The next thing I want us to think about when we think about the wonder of Christ's birth and looking at our text, and that is a wonderful confession. There in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul writes, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Other versions have the word "of whom I am foremost." This confession makes it personal. Jesus came into the world. Yes, He did. He came to save me. How can you be sure that you will wonder at the thought of Christ's birth? With all the negativity that surrounds it, how can we be sure that we will wonder at the meaning of it? Well, only one matter really matters. If you realize and confess that you are a sinner and that Christ came to seek and to save you, when you know that you're the sinner Christ came to save, you can begin to understand the wonder of Christ's death. How often have you either seen a sign something like this, read this somewhere, or somebody has mentioned to you, "Jesus is the reason for the season"? That might be the reason why many celebrate Christmas. But when it comes to Christ's birth, I would have to disagree. You are the reason. I am the reason Christ came to this earth. Christ came into the world to save sinners, amongst whom I am chief. You are the reason Christ came into the world. But it doesn't mean anything unless you recognize that you are a sinner. That is why the world will never truly grasp the meaning of Christ's birth. I don't want us to miss the point. When we think about the wonder of Christ's birth, it starts off with a wonderful fact, that Christ came into the world. It shows us of the wonderful purpose that He came to save sinners. And it ends with that wonderful confession. I am foremost. I am the chief of sinners. You know, I mentioned earlier that Christ's birth was one of the few occasions in the New Testament when it mentions that the angels rejoiced over something that happened on earth. There is another occasion of where it is said and talked about that the angels rejoice in heaven. And that's mentioned in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, Christ is giving several parables. And He talks about the lost coin and about those who are astray. In verses 7 and verses 10, He ends two of the parables like this. Verse 7 says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. In verse 10 He says, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Think about that. Have you obeyed God? Have you confessed His name unto men? Have you repented? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you fallen away from His grace? And you need to come back. You want to celebrate tonight? And when we say celebrate, we're not just talking about celebrating by yourself. We're talking about celebrating with this congregation here tonight. And we're talking about celebrating with the angels of heaven. If you want to do that tonight, then it's time for you to repent. It's time for you to get your life right and start on that road of walking and obeying God. If there's anything that we can do tonight to help you in that, we are willing to do it. And all we ask is just please come forward as we stand and sing.